It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervie. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan Gervie & Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality and television host, Kerry Kasem. Kerry brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervie and Kerry Kasem.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles. Only one today. I am Alan Gervie, and welcome. Welcome to Gervie's Law, everyone listening on 790 Talk Radio, KBC, and the Armed Forces Radio Network throughout the world, and KBC.com. I am the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan Gervie and Wynn, and you just heard that right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC. And today, as usual, I'm here to be the managing partner of your life, not mine, but yours, and here to assist me with managing partnership is none other than the beautiful Oscar-nominated... Oh, Kerry Kasem is here.
I didn't know I had an Oscar. But I feel like a magician's assistant. I will be your assistant, Mr. Gervie.
Actually, I'm surprised you're here. I thought Patricia Arquette was supposed to be here. She's Oscar nominated.
She is. I know. I had to fill in for her. I'm so sorry. She had to film another 15-year movie, and she's off for the next 15 years.
Did I ever tell you the story of when Patricia Arquette was sitting beside me with Ethan Hawke?
And did you say you didn't know who they were?
No, I knew who they were. But the people next to me were staring and staring as we were looking at them. And then they came up to me, not to Patricia Arquette and not to Ethan Hawke, but came up to me and Nancy and said, "Weren't you just on the Oprah show?"
That's so funny. I love that story.
That was hilarious. Yes. So, of course, tomorrow, it's Academy Awards.
Are you coming to my Academy Award party?
I'm not sure. I don't know if I was invited or not.
We just actually just made it up, on the 2 days ago.
Really?
We decided, you know what? We're going to open the store on Sunday, which we never do, and we're just going to have people come and hang out and watch the Academy Awards.
That's a fantastic idea.
Yeah.
You know, but I bet we have more Academy Awards decorations in our house right now than you do, because we're having a party tomorrow.
I didn't know about that either.
Yeah, well, you weren't invited. That's right. It's hard.
So mean.
No, I'm seriously. 1 year ago, we were on the air, and we were talking about how I didn't take Nancy to the hospital on time because she was complaining about pains, and I said, it's all fake, you know, just lie down, rest. And then finally I got her to the hospital, and she gave birth basically as I dropped her off at the curb. And that was a year ago.
Wow.
And Harper Maddie Gervie is turned 1 year old, and tomorrow we are having a birthday party for Harper, and the theme is the Academy Award. So we've got all kinds of decorations. It's going to be so much fun at the Gervie household.
Carpet?
We have a great red carpet, and we have best performance. We have a big sign that says Harper best performance as a 1 year old in your performance as a 1 year old in life. And so, I can't remember exactly. Nancy put
That's
it
hilarious.
Up. And we've got a little area for pictures. We have like a big backdrop
mostly
where people are going to be
taking
pictures.
Mostly for parents and their kids, right? Like
mostly
parents and the
parents.
Babies.
She has no friends.
Every time I think of you throwing a party now for kids, I think of that horrible clown that you invited.
That was last year for Hudson, Lighty the Clown, Bubbles. I'm here to make fun of kids. Well, this year we're having a singer with a guitar, and hopefully he'll know how to sing Happy Birthday because Bubbles didn't. So, you know, tomorrow's the Academy Awards. We're really excited. Of course, one of my oldest friends, Neil Patrick Harris.
I can't believe you know him. I can't believe I didn't know you knew him.
He's hosting, and there's a lot of pressure. Yeah, I was one of the first people who he knew when he was here doing Doogie Howser.
I love that show, and I love him. Oh, well, look at this.
There we go, the Doogie Howser music. Yeah, so I met Neil through his BFF. Right now his BFF is Ed Alonzo, who we've had on the show, of course. Ed Alonzo, the magician extraordinaire, comedy magic of Ed Alonzo. And we used to hang out. And actually, I drove Neil, because he couldn't drive, I drove him to the studio so that he could do Doogie Howser.
Because he was a kid.
He was a kid.
He was a kid.
Yeah.
He's
so
talented. I think he's going to be so good.
I remember. He will be fantastic.
So
he's
good.
Really talented. When I used to drive him, he used to sing show tunes in my car. I had a Nissan Pulsar, a white Nissan Pulsar, and I took Neil to the studio, and he was singing show tunes as a 15-and-a-half-year-old in the car. And then when he won his first People's Choice Award, he showed up. We went to Jerry's Deli in Studio City, and he showed up holding the thing, and he was just not affected by it at all. He was just, you know, what I need to order my matzo ball soup.
He seems like that now. He doesn't seem really affected by everything. Seems like, I don't know him, but he seems like a down-to-earth guy.
He's a really, really good guy, and I actually used him when I tried to pick up chicks back in the day.
Wait, here's Doogie. He's too young for you. You can go out with me.
No, this is what happened. I was an attorney at NBC at the time, and a young Sarah Jessica Parker was on The Tonight Show, and I had a crush on Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yeah.
So what did I do? And please, if you tell anyone this, I'm probably going to get fired
from NBC.
Okay,
you're just telling me.
So I'm just telling you. So what I did, and I do not try this at home. I wrote a note to Sarah Jessica Parker, and I went to the Tonight Show stage, and I put it under her door. And this morning, I was looking through my archives. I found the note.
Are you serious?
I'm absolutely serious.
Okay, read it.
So here it is. It's dated April 14th, 1991, and it says, "Dear Sarah, you do a great job playing a lawyer on Equal Justice, but if you want to do a real fantastic job, I would love to help you. I am a lawyer here at NBC and can give you the inside scoop. I'm not into the celebrity thing, although I did play miniature golf with Doogie Howser last week. Call me at extension 4786 if you are presently involved with someone and feel uncomfortable about this. Then just ball this note up and throw it right into the circular file. Alan Gervey."
It's actually, you know what? That's balls.
If anyone would have found it, first of all, she was dating Robert Downey Jr. at the time. I didn't know. Oh. So that's the only reason why she didn't.
She didn't call you.
She didn't call.
That's the only reason.
Wait, we have Mark on the line?
No.
So, she. We're laughing because Dino's playing a little joke on me here about Neil Patrick Harris. But, yeah, so Sarah didn't call me, and she was dating
Robert Downey Jr.,
who I look a little bit like. People have told me I look a little bit like.
I mean, you guys resemble each other.
Yeah, so I had a shot at her, and I'm not sure if it was the Doogie Howser comment that turned her off, but. The amazing thing is that I kept my job at NBC. No one found out.
Did you go back and get the note? Is that what happened?
No.
How did you get the note then?
I made a photocopy of it. I copy everything. By the way, if you're ever thinking of being a lawyer, you photocopy everything. And NBC, I did it on the NBC photocopier. And, you know, that's really, a no-no. That was personal business.
So nobody ever found out. She didn't complain. She didn't say anything.
As far as I know, she didn't tell anyone. She may have told Robert Downey Jr., and he, you know, wasn't
he's
happy
after
about
you.
It. Yeah,
he's after you still to this day.
But, I dropped the Doogie Howser name. I think he's going to do a fantastic job as the host tomorrow.
Do you think he's going to open with a musical number?
I do. Ooh. I really do, and I think it's going to have something to do with the nominated films. So we'll wait and see what happens. Carrie and I are going to give everyone your predictions. Our predictions, we're not giving your predictions, we're giving our predictions at the end of the show. So stay with us because we've got some really important predictions. We have a fantastic show. We're going to talk about the Oscars, and we're privileged to have with us today Larry Zerner. And Larry Zerner, of course, you might know him as an actor. He started out in the business as an actor, but what better job than being an actor is being an entertainment lawyer?
He is, but, you know, it's really neat being on the other side of it, so you know how actors feel, you know how actors are treated. But this guy, he was in one of my favorite TV shows, and talk about singing and dancing. He was in an episode of Fame.
Yeah.
I'm gonna live forever. Yeah. I sing that at a.
I usually do the maniac part where I
I'm
pour
a maniac,
water out
maniac,
on my head and I
but
start
that was
moving really, really quickly.
Totally different than the Fame TV series.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, completely.
I watched the Fame movie series as well. I mean, television series as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, everyone wants to hear what Larry says because we're going to talk about fact-based movies, and there are five of them nominated. We're going to talk a little bit about whether they've taken creative license. We're also going to talk about copyright infringement, downloading some of these Oscar-nominated movies. And we're going to touch on maybe a little bit about Brian Williams, even though he's not nominated. But
did you see that this is going to tie in, I promise, the SNL, the 40th anniversary?
I did.
Did you see what Jim Carrey did on the red carpet?
Yeah.
Ooh, was that not uncomfortable when he asks, where's Brian Williams? And then you, where do you have him hiding? I couldn't believe that. And that I shrunk down a little bit.
Okay, as I type on my computer here, thinking of Neil Patrick Harris in the back in the day when he just arrived in L.A., we're going to take a short break, and we will be back with Larry Zerner. We're going to talk all about entertainment law and the Academy Awards. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Another day at work. The pain is getting worse, and I'm afraid to say anything because I need this job, and I don't want to get fired. If I wasn't the only one supporting the family, I'd quit.
Is this you? Are you suffering every day while your injuries get worse, and there seems to be nowhere to turn? Or do you have an injury that was brought on gradually by repetitive motion, and now you can't perform your job duties at all? For over 35 years, the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn has represented those who have sustained an injury on the job or have become disabled as a result of work. They're the experts in workers' compensation. You need an advocate. You need someone who cares about the injured worker. You need the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn to get you through the nightmare. Friends, if you're suffering with a cumulative work injury, the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn is in business to help you. Find out more. Call the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn, 855-4-RGW-LAW. That's 855-4-RGW-LAW. Or go to rgwlawfirm.com. First consultations are free.
Data knows you love posting selfies. Others might see a reflective surface, but you see an opportunity. Like right now, you just caught a glimpse of yourself and you like what you see, and you're thinking, everyone else would probably like it too. Go ahead, you've got more data and you're paying less with Boost Mobile. For only $35 a month, you can take your selfie game to the next level. Parked car window, click, selfie. Person wearing sunglasses, click, selfie. Anything shiny, don't mind if you do. You, my friend, have no selfie control, and data's okay with that. Come to data.
Now get unlimited talk, text, and 2.5 gigabytes of high-speed data for $35 a month after you sign up on Auto Reboost, only from Boost Mobile. Enrollment in Auto Reboost required at activation. Removal of Auto Reboost increases plan cost to $45 a month. Video streaming limited to 3G speeds. After applicable data allotment reach, data speeds reduced to 2G speeds for remainder of plan cycle. State and local sales taxes may apply. Restrictions apply.
Coming up on the next Drive Home with Jillian Barbary and John Phillips at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the Oscars go down. We'll tell you who won, who lost, and who made a drunken pass at Meryl Streep. Bet you it's Ellen DeGeneres. Live and local right after Dr. Drew and Psycho Mike right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Welcome back to Gervie's Law, turning Murphy's Law upside down on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
And this is where I come in with my song and dance for the Academy Awards. Thanks, Jose. That was a great job. I'm going to be Neil Patrick Harris for the rest of the hour as the host of Gervie's Law. It is Alan Gervey, and I'm here with Carrie Kasem, and you're listening to Gervie's Law. I am the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn, and we are here to turn negatives into positives, and we are going to do that because a lot of times the entertainment industry sometimes has, you know, a little bit of a complex because people think that they're so high and mighty in their way, but we're talking to the masses. We're talking to you folks who may not be actors, who may not be entertainment lawyers. And Carrie, isn't it important that we reach out to the grassroots so they understand exactly what's going on in Hollywood?
We must make them understand.
We
if
must.
They don't, you will.
And you're going to understand now because we're honored to have with us Larry Zerner. Larry Zerner is an entertainment lawyer. He's in Century City, and there's nothing better than being in Century City except maybe Beverly Hills. But I got to tell you, he has represented a lot of people. He does copyright law, trademark law, entertainment law, intellectual property litigation. You can see him at his website at ZernerLaw.com. That's ZernerLaw.com, and we're happy to have Larry with us. And I'm just going to start off, Larry. First of all, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. You know, I got to tell you that people understand how you are dealing with the most important celebrities, producers, writers, and I know that you made a lot of money off of Larry King.
Yes. Wait, wait.
Larry King, and you would think that was one of his clients, but no, folks, it wasn't. But he made a lot of money off of Larry King.
Okay,
did you sue Larry King?
No, I did not sue Larry King.
Okay, why don't you tell our audience why you made $250,000 off of Larry King?
Because I was on a game show called One Versus 100, and the question was, who was married more, Larry King or King Henry VIII? And I knew it was Larry King, and Ken Jennings, the Jeopardy champion, did not know that. And so
you were up against Ken Jennings?
I was up against Ken Jennings, and I defeated him.
I mean, he was like the big guy to defeat.
Yeah.
Did you watch that show?
Absolutely.
One in 100 or whatever. I remember that.
Yeah.
I probably watched
The Mob. Do you remember The Mob?
Yes.
So we have right in our midst here the champion who beat, you know, Ken Jennings and also Annie Duke, Brad Ruttner, Kevin Olmsted, Nancy Christie, all of these brilliant people. Here we are. And now he's an entertainment lawyer. But there's one more thing that I have to mention before we get into the substance of this. I really love Larry for one reason, because you know I'm a huge hockey fan.
Yes, I do. If I know one thing about you, you love hockey.
And I grew up in the era where the goalies wore masks.
Yeah.
And guess what? Larry introduced the goalie mask to Friday the 13th.
You were the one that put the mask on Jason Voorhees?
Well, I was the one who brought the hockey mask that Jason then killed me and took my hockey mask. So people call it Jason's mask, but it was really Shelley's mask. Shelley was the character I played.
Okay. So you were the kid where that he bent down and put it on his face? Is that the one? Or did he take it? I can't.
I ended up getting my throat slashed.
Right.
And he took the mask from me. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Isn't that crazy? All right, Larry, we are privileged to have you. You have been in practice, obviously, for some time in entertainment after being an actor, so you have seen both sides of the business. I want to talk first really quickly because Brian Williams has been in the news so much, and this is something of interest to me because I have a philosophy degree from, it's in moral philosophy from Brown University, and we're now talking about a morality clause and whether NBC can get rid of Brian Williams based on a breach of a morality clause. And I know it's not a common thing. Obviously, in the Aaron Hernandez case, when he, you know, I think murdered someone, he's up, you know, the trial's still going on. That's an easy one. But what about this one?
I think these clauses are written so broadly that it's basically anything that puts you in disrepute. And here, where people are saying he lied, and you're the spokesman for NBC, for NBC News, and everything's about your trust. I don't think there'd be any question that they would, if it went to court, that a court would find that he breached the morality clause.
Well, I'm going to read the morality clause in his contract now, and I'm not sure I agree with you. Okay. If artist commits any act or becomes involved in any situation or occurrence which brings artist into public disrepute, contempt, scandal, or ridicule, or which justifiably shocks, insults, or offends a significant portion of the community, or if publicity is given to any such conduct, company shall have the right to terminate. What does all that mean? Are we talking about moral absolutes here? Because we have to look at the philosophical underpinnings of a morality clause and look to see whether morals are relative or absolute. Can the NBC executive, Stephen Burke, and Comcast CEO, Brian Roberts, do they have the ability to say, yes, this action by Brian Williams has put the whole issue into disrepute amongst the public?
I think absolutely there is this. He is in disrepute. He's certainly been ridiculed. I mean,
yes, he has.
So the ridicule part of it is so broad.
I agree, and he's a newsman.
Jim Carrey.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that whole thing was horrible. The minute, you know, Jim Carrey was on the red carpet during the SNL 40th, and he made that comment about Brian Williams, where is he? Where are you hiding him? I think everybody watching that was like, it was horrible. It was so uncomfortable.
Right. But I don't think NBC wants to fire him.
Right.
And I think, you know, they probably sat in a room and agreed to the 6-month suspension, and then they'll see what happens in
but
6 months.
He's a newsman, And now people are going to question everything that he has said. I mean, whether he's had little white lies or whether he's embellished or, you know, and that's hard position to be when you're, you got to tell the truth.
Larry, I'm just going to put you on the spot really quickly. Williams hired lawyer Bob Barnett, who's representing him. He also represented Ann Curry. Now, the question is, if you were defending Brian Williams and NBC was proposing this termination.
Yes.
There he is. I was hoping to hear.
I get another $250,000.
Yeah, right. If you get this right, you get $250,000. I was hoping to hear the NBC Nightly News.
And you have to answer this in the form of a question.
Right. What is the defense when you talk about termination by the morality clause?
Well, the first defense is probably that he didn't do anything wrong, that this was all blown up, that he was.
Wrong answer. Okay, I think it's the definition of what comes out to be what's moral, what isn't, and whether it rises to that level. There's no question he did something wrong. Everyone will agree to that. But does it rise to the level to negate and terminate a contract, which I think he gets $2 million a year to perform his duty?
$10 million.
Is it 10?
Yeah, I was going to say, 2 seems a little low for the guy who's been on air for 50 years.
They said the six-month penalty would cost him $5 million.
Well, wow. I have an article right here from Newsmax, and it says, and I'm going to correct all of you unless this is wrong, although he recently signed a five-year, $10 million contract, many TV pundits believe Williams will never return to the network.
$10 million per year.
Well, then you need to tell them that because they.
Yeah, because usually when you say 5 years,
over
$10 million.
Yeah.
It's usually over, like baseball contracts.
All right, but I'm going to go with $10 million. All right, so we're never going to be able to establish it, whether it's not. But it's interesting to hear about these morality clauses. There are gray areas, and that's what morals is all about. They're gray areas. They translate into the legal arena, which makes it difficult.
But I think partly it's not about what you do. It's how the public reacts to what you do. So sometimes you could do something small, but if the public loses confidence in you, then the network wants the ability.
Excellent point, and they have a legal basis to do so. Now, talking about the public confidence in you, we're going to switch the subject now to the Academy Awards and the nominated movies for Best Film, and one of them isn't nominated for Best Film, but we're going to talk about it anyway. And what we're talking about, there we go, the Academy Awards.
Oh, yeah.
Creative license. We want to talk about exploiting a true story for entertainment purposes and what the rights of the people are. And the movies we're talking about are Selma, Theory of Everything, Imagination Game, American Sniper, and Foxcatcher.
Imitation Game.
What did I say?
Yeah. Imagination.
Well,
that's the same thing.
Maybe I think it's an imagination. I think that Imitation Game.
Yeah.
And those movies are all nominated, and the fact is they're based on true stories. Tell us, Larry, what? Do people have a cause of action, perhaps for bad light, defamation, slander, copyright infringement, if they stretch the truth too much in these films?
Well, it's certainly possible that there could be a claim of defamation, but it's so case-specific that you'd have to go through each one. I mean, first of all, the ones that are old, if you're dead, you can't sue for defamation. So
Alan Turing.
Right, Alan Turing, and people sometimes think, well, their children can sue. No, it's not, defamation doesn't pass on to the heirs.
Well, he doesn't have any kids.
Well, he was gay.
I'm just saying, yeah.
But wait, that's one of the reasons why people think that it may not have been as truthful, because they swayed away from the gay angle on the Imitation Game. But what they answered, the producers answered with that, is they said, hey, listen, the story we told was not about his personal life. It was about, you know, cracking the code. So we didn't say anything that wasn't true. We just didn't focus on the homosexuality like the book did.
But at the end, it really did, and you see what it brought him down.
Yeah,
but
at the end.
You're right. The whole story was about cracking the code and this genius man who created the first computer. So, I mean, I don't think there's too much fault there in any kind of, even if the man was alive, for defamation.
Okay. We're going to pick up on this because we want to talk about some of the other movies, Theory of Everything, Selma, American Sniper, Foxcatcher, and a few other things. We have Larry Zerner with us, and he's an entertainment lawyer in Hollywood, and you are listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. We will be right back after the break.
Private mortgage insurance, or PMI, can cost you thousands. But with the PMI Advantage from Quicken Loans, you may never have to pay those expensive monthly mortgage insurance premiums again. Hi, I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans, and I'm excited to tell you that the Quicken Loans PMI Advantage is our lender-paid mortgage insurance program. You see, we pay the PMI so you don't have to. Make the smart call and talk to one of our home loan experts today at 800-QUICKEN. You'll learn how the Quicken Loans PMI Advantage can give you more options, more flexibility, and may save you thousands when you refinance. And for 5 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction. And this year, for the first time, they've also ranked us highest in mortgage servicing. To learn more, call us at 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN, or visit us at quickenloans.com.
Visit jdpower.com for award information. Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. License law 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Your mobile device does it all, including take your favorite station wherever you go. Download the free iHeartRadio app. You can listen to this station anywhere. Find it where you download apps. Or get started at iHeartRadio.com.
You're listening to Gerby's Law, the intersection of law and life on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
We're back already?
Shoot, but what about tomorrow? Can you come through? Bye. I gotta go. Bye.
Wow. I was taking a nap.
I think we all were.
Yeah.
I have still food in my mouth.
I'm just getting ready for Harper's birthday in the morning and then for the Academy Awards. So I just thought, you know, can I just have a couple more minutes to chill? I don't often get a chance to take a break.
Is this what you consider a break?
I love it
from your life.
That's what it is. Wow. We are having a lot of fun on our pre-Oscar show. We have the red carpet out here and we're talking with entertainment attorney Larry Zerner, who is telling us about the fact-based fictions that we're seeing in the movies these days. Larry, why do you think there are so many films that are successful? There are four of them out of the eight that are nominated for Best Picture that actually are based on true stories.
I think people find them more inspiring. I mean, they're really great, especially in the Oscar field. Movies about real people just seem to really connect with people. And when Hollywood has movies about, you know, the big movies in Hollywood about the fake people, or, you know, Iron Man and Captain America, those never get nominated.
No.
That's true.
Except for soundtrack or for, you know, animation or whatever, the visual effects. Alan, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Yes, we have all these films that are based on these people, and they do connect with people, but they say that a movie that isn't real, Birdman, is going to take everything.
Well, we're going to talk about that a little bit later in our last segment, and I'll invite you to call. We're going to talk about who we think is going to win, are going to win. You can call us at 800-222-5222, 800-222-5222, if you want to chip in and give us your opinion as to who's going to win. If Carrie is right about Birdman, I have a different opinion. We're going to be talking about that in a few minutes. But let's talk about Foxcatcher, because you were talking, Larry, about the superhero and the tough guy, and, you know, they never get nominated. What about Mark Schultz? This, of course, is the Mark Schultz autobiography, a wrestler, and apparently he wasn't too happy about Foxcatcher when the movie came out.
Right. He thought that it portrayed him as possibly having a gay relationship with DuPont, and took offense at that and went on a Twitter rant, I believe.
I never saw that. I watched the film, and I thought maybe DuPont was a little creepy, weird, pervy, but I never, ever thought Mark. That didn't come across.
I didn't get that either. I think.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he went and just put it all over, and everybody picked it up, and it's like, well, you just did that. I don't think anybody else felt that way.
I think Mark said he read it, someone else said it, and he...
He picked it up.
Yeah. The Twitter rant that you're talking about, Larry, is as follows. Everything I've said positive about the movie, I take back. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it.
Wow.
I hate it. I hate it. I hate it.
Did he hate it?
I'm not sure, but apparently he changed his tune. a few months later and went to the social media to say that it was okay. What is it, your opinion as a lawyer, as an entertainment lawyer, why would that have occurred after he said, I hate it 8 times?
Because when they paid Mark for the rights to his book, there is a clause in there that says, you will not disparage our movie. That's one of the things they're paying for. And so once he did that, somebody called him and said, you're in breach of this agreement, and you're going to get sued unless you fix this.
Do you think they're going to sue him? Do you think they're going to sue him?
No. I don't, no.
No.
But that begs a question that is really important here, and that is that people who sell their rights to make a film, do they essentially give up the right to sue the person, to sue the production company or the distributors or whoever, producers, for defamation, for libel, for slander, for bad light?
That's what they're. That's really what they're buying. Sometimes they're buying inside information. But if you're talking about true stories, that stuff is in the a lot of that stuff is in the public domain, especially when you're dealing with stuff that's like a crime. So there's a court record and all that. So what you're really buying is the right to not get sued for defamation or to tell that person's story.
But what if they really stretch it? They use creative license that the person says, hey, that wasn't the story that I sold you.
Those contracts say, we can do whatever we want with your story, and you will not sue us. It doesn't matter if we defame you, you don't, or change the story. We can do anything we want with it. You will not sue us.
So that's now tell us when people do sue. When do they sue, and when can they actually recover for a movie which isn't necessarily true to life?
Well, they sue when their rights have not been purchased. So
okay.
then it becomes a question of whether or not they crossed the line or and so there's not a lot of lawsuits over movies because there's a lot of First Amendment protection in there, and the studios tend to have lawyers who really check these things. So there's really sometimes more in television shows. I mean, famously, Law and Order is they rip from the headlines, and there's been some lawsuits over that where they thought it was a little too close to their own life and portrayed
it
in a bad way.
I was just going to ask you about that. Did you say that because you knew I was going to ask you about that?
I did not.
Really? Are you lying?
I knew
you
that there was
you
an
don't
issue.
Have to
yes,
answer. You don't
yes.
have to answer that.
Okay, so yeah. So I got told this last week by a ton of my Facebook friends and Twitter followers. They're doing a ripped, from the headlines episode on the Kasem family and what happened to you and your dad and your sister. And I said, what are you talking about? So it took a couple days after that for the teaser to come out online, and I watched it. And it literally is this little girl going, Daddy, she's not letting us see you. And I'm like, okay. And then the guys, he's not a DJ. He's Robert Vaughn plays a very famous book author, and it's his two daughters fighting in court to see them because the stepmother has blocked them. So it's a little weird for me. I'm hope it brings and sheds light on the elder abuse and the isolation situation we have going across the country. But what you mean? So you think I have, like, let's say they did this and then at the end it turned out the kids just were fighting for the money, which we're not. We never have.
That's
do
what
I
you
have?
Say.
Well, I don't have any money. But do I have then some legal recourse to say, hey guys, that's obviously my story. We didn't fight over any money. Check all the court documents.
Well, people have made that argument. No one's really succeeded because they would say it's not a radio DJ. It's not Casey Kasem.
Right.
It's a book author. We took this idea that really happened and changed it so you would not sue us. That's what the changes we made. There is a line, but it would be more like, if at the end it was like, and the wife murdered him, and then you'd have much more of a...
No, that's true.
Larry, what about the concept of substantial similarity?
Well, substantial similarity is something that comes around in copyright infringement. So you can't have substantial similarity for facts because the facts are not protected in the first place. So you never get there. You can make a lot of movies about true stories, and people do make different.
Right.
I remember famously the Amy Fisher case, which were three different movies about the Amy Fisher case. One of them got Amy Fisher's rights, one of them got the Buttafuoco's rights, and one of them got the reporter's rights. And so each told the story from three different views, and I think two of them aired on the exact same night on television.
That's funny. And of course, under those circumstances, they do a lot of research. People wonder, what is the defense for these type of lawsuits? And the defense is simply truth.
That's one defense. Right.
Right. So if they can prove that it was in a newspaper, it was reported, as you said, the reporter gave the rights, or if there's some other means to prove that it actually occurred and it isn't defamation, then, you know, they're out of luck.
Yeah, especially with court, because anything said in a court trial is basically, you can use that as the basis to show that in the movie.
Okay, using Carrie's example, I want to know, because this television show hasn't aired yet.
Mm. No,
and and when it does, I mean, she's probably waiting around to see if it's good or bad. Let's say it's bad. What damages, and of course, for those of you who are listening, for a lawsuit to be successful, you need to have damages. You can't just go and sue someone and say, oh, it had no impact, whatever, I'm just doing it because it's fun to go to court and argue before a judge. What damages could you show in, for instance, Carrie's case that she might sue Law and Order?
Well, in defamation, there are certain things that are what called defamatory per se, and you don't have to actually show damages. So if you show that they actually committed a crime, like killing someone, you wouldn't actually have to prove any actual damages. You can just say they
because they're assumed.
They're assumed, and the jury can just sort of go to town at that point.
Right.
Or if it's something about they're incompetent at their job, that's another one. It's defamatory.
Yeah, it's assumed that people don't want to walk around and be known as the person who's incompetent at your job.
Yes, or to be if you're shown as unchaste. Which is sort of a
Oh, right. No, I've heard of that before.
I've never been chased. No one has ever chased me, so I'm unchaste.
Right. So, right, if they portray you as a slut, then you can sue as well without...
Carrie, do you think they'll be portraying you as a slut?
You know, Julie and I, maybe if they you know, portrayed us as, like, playmates or something, and that would be horrific, and I guess, I mean, not it would just, you know, Sisters Pose for that magazine, I always thought, it always astonished me when two girls that were sisters would do stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I guess if they did something like that where they made
they
it
will.
Sexy,
I don't think
so either. And look, I think, to be honest with you, I'm hoping that it's actually going to kind of tell the truth about what happened because I think
girl.
There's more truth out there. Yeah. And it's going to shed light on isolation and elder abuse and what goes on in this country. So that's where I think it's going to go. I'm not too worried, a little worried.
Okay,
now,
I wouldn't
look at them as looking for the truth. They're not going to be.
No, they're doing an entertainment
show. But if it's ripped from
show.
The headlines, I think there's more truth out there. Then there's not.
We shall wait. Stay tuned to Gervie's Law, and you will find out whether Carrie is happy or upset about Law and Order when her story comes out under fiction.
And it's called Winter Solstice, and it's on Wednesday night at 9. I've never seen Law and Order, so this will be my first time watching the show. I'm kind of excited, kind of scared.
We'll see what happens. We're going to quickly change subject really fast. We want to talk a little bit about these illegally downloaded movies, a lot of the Oscar-nominated movies, and it's funny because I talk to people, did you see this movie, did you see that movie, and they say, yeah, I saw it, or yeah, I'm going to be seeing it, and I'm like, you know, where did you see it, how do you know, and I'm saying, oh, I got a, you know, peer-to-peer sharing program that I see all these movies. They never go to the Arclight. And by the way, I didn't see you at the Arclight
on
Valentine's Day.
You remember my face and everything that would happen with it? I was too tired and swollen and sore.
You didn't go.
And so we went at 11 a.m. the next morning.
Wow.
We got up. We literally got coffee and went to go see it.
I don't want to digress here, but the movie was horrible, correct?
Okay, I liked it. Oh, God.
Don't say you
I'm
liked
sorry.
It.
I liked it.
We're talking about 50 Shades of Grey. But I digress. What do you think about this business of illegal downloads that people are now watching Academy Award nominated movies for nothing?
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge problem in the industry, and they really cannot stop it. The all the sites are hosted overseas or on BitTorrent, where there's really no there's no person, there's no entity to even grab. So once it gets out there, it's just out there, and the studios are really had not had a way to stop it.
But is it people that go into movie theaters with the cameras and look at the screen like that? That kind of?
Not anymore. No, people get screeners because, you know, the screeners go out
right.
And then they come on, or people will be, they find a way to they pay off the projectionist in theaters and take a digital copy that way. I mean, so there's all sorts of ways. People will do anything to get the film.
The last year's film, Dallas Buyers Club, actually sued approximately 100 times for copyright infringement. And this is in Oregon, and there are some people who have been paying $5,600 to settle with Dallas Buyers Club or $15,000 to settle with Dallas Buyers Club. So apparently they know it's wrong, and people are willing to pay for it, but... Well, I guess you have to get caught.
The penalties for copyright infringement can be severe because for willful infringement, the penalties can be up to $150,000 mm-hmm. for infringement. And usually they will send out these letters that say, you know, give us a couple thousand dollars and we won't sue you. And just, you know, just getting through the attorney's fees
right.
is going to be so much more than that. So people do pay. It happens a lot. There are some places that where it borders on extortion in the porn industry. They've been
right.
seeing that where the porn companies have been sending out letters and it's like, you'll be found out that you downloaded this, you know, this kinky bondage movie, but it might as well pay us. And so that's been an issue.
Wow. All right. Well, that's interesting. Where are you watching the Academy Awards tomorrow?
I will be home with my wife.
Okay.
Where I always watch them.
Enjoy. That's the best place in your underwear with a beer and some pizza.
Yeah, that's exactly what Larry
Zerner. Thanks
his
for
hand
being
down his pants.
Entertainment lawyer Larry Zerner, Gervie's Law, wants to thank you. Larry has his Century City office, and he can be reached. If you want to talk about your case with him, it's 310-773-3623. That's 310-773-3623 or look on ZernerLaw.com. Thanks for being with us, Larry.
Thanks so much for having me, Alan.
And we will be right back after these messages.
Any person who makes or causes to be made any knowingly false or fraudulent material statement or material representation for the purposes of obtaining workers' compensation benefits is guilty of a felony.
Another day at work. The pain is getting worse, and I'm afraid to say anything because I need this job, and I don't want to get fired. If I wasn't the only one supporting the family, I'd quit.
Is this you? Are you suffering every day while your injuries get worse, and there seems to be nowhere to turn? Or do you have an injury that was brought on gradually by repetitive motion, and now you can't perform your job duties at all? For over 35 years, the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn has represented those who have sustained an injury on the job or have become disabled as a result of work. They're the experts in workers' compensation. You need an advocate. You need someone who cares about the injured worker. You need the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn to get you through the nightmare. Friends, if you're suffering with a cumulative work injury, the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn is in business to help you. Find out more. Call the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn, 855-4-RGW-LAW. That's 855-4-RGW-LAW. Or go to rgwlawfirm.com. First consultations are free.
You're listening to Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yes, you are listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC. That was a big switch from the Academy Awards. Folks, if you're just joining us now on Talk Radio 790 KBC, you're listening to Gervie's Law, and you have missed an incredible show where we have talked about the Academy Awards, notwithstanding the funky music that just led us into this last segment. We're here till 3. I'm here with Carrie Kasem. I am Alan Gervie, the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn. We take care of all injured workers. So if you've been injured on the job, even though I've talked a lot today about Hollywood and name-dropped a lot of people in my past, I actually do litigate injured workers litigation, workers' comp claims. So call me at 855-4-RGW-LAW. That is 855-4-RGW-LAW. Or go to rgwlaw.com, rgwlaw.com. If you want to know what I look like and what I've done in my life, go to my bio at rgwlaw.com and feel free to call anytime. I'm happy to talk about law or about the Academy Awards. And that's what we've been talking about. We started the show out talking about, oh, there's my Canadian accent that just came out. I said oat.
Out and about.
We started the show out with Dino liked that, with talking about Neil Patrick Harris, who is an old friend of mine. It was through Ed Alonso. You know, we used to hang out at the Magic Castle together. We went to Disneyland. It was really fun going to Disneyland with Neil because we got to the front of the line on everything.
Oh, you get the VIP treatment.
VIP treatments. It was a lot of fun. We went to Knott's Berry Farm. Of course, we went and watched Ed do a lot of his shows. And now Neil is actually going to be hosting the show tomorrow night.
You know how I got VIP at Magic Mountain?
Let me guess.
Mm.
It was a boyfriend of yours.
Nope. My friend pretended that his leg was broken, and we got a wheelchair, and we got to the front of the line. Terrible. This was, I do not do this anymore. This was 25
That's
years
so
ago.
That's so funny.
25 years ago.
That just reminded me of last week when we talked about the dating game and when I gave that answer about, you know, this weird voice I used to Annette Sinclair,
oh, right,
bachelor
right.
number two. And then the third, bachelor number three said, I got 6 months to live. I need a nursemaid. That's the same thing. But yeah, and I also told the story of Sarah Jessica Parker when I asked Sarah Jessica Parker out in violation of every employment agreement you could ever imagine as a lawyer at NBC.
That.
Never got caught. I continued to work there till I left, and Sarah Jessica Parker never went out with me, unfortunately. So now we're going to talk a little bit about the Academy Awards. And I have my predictions. Before I get to my predictions, and if you want to call in with your predictions, call us at 800-222-5222. That's 800-ABC-KABC.
And it's ABC-KABC.
I feel like I'm teaching Hudson the alphabet. But I want to talk a little bit about that. We did have Larry Zerner on the show. He has left the building. Larry has left the building. But we appreciate the fact that he gave us some insight from an entertainment lawyer's perspective on some of the nominations for the Oscars and especially about these fact-to-fiction movies and how apparently people get upset about them but really can't do too much because of the contracts that are entered into that allow the producers to take creative license and make a great film. So speaking of great films, for Best Picture, we have American Sniper, Birdman, Boyhood, The Grand Budapest Hotel, The Imitation Game, Selma, The Theory of Everything, and Whiplash. I bet we're picking a different movie for Best Picture.
What is your movie for Best Picture?
I'm picking Boyhood.
I think that's going to win only because it's won everything else. It's kind of swept everything, and it took 12 years to make, and it was kind of an adventure. It was different than anything else. Birdman, though, is for all actors, and since the Academy is voting on this, and because it's an acting film, and because it was very much, I mean, some of those shots were like 15 minutes long. They never cut. I think because it's an actor, it's actors voting for actors, it's the Academy, it might go to Birdman.
I'm going to disagree with you. I fell asleep during Birdman. Nancy loved Birdman. She thought it was very philosophical and it had the meaning of life. And as a philosopher, I just went to sleep.
I thought it was one note. I thought the entire thing was one note. I thought the shots were great. I thought the actors were good. But I didn't. There was not enough variety in it for me. It was one note. But look, I mean, the acting, they're great actors. Ed Norton is fantastic.
Yeah,
he made
did a great job.
He made
did a great job.
Yeah.
I wasn't so thrilled with Michael Keaton. It was okay, but not great. I thought Boyhood was just an incredible undertaking.
See, it's an incredible undertaking, but I've heard from too many people, and this is so funny, I've seen almost every single movie here except this one, that it was boring and long and arduous. That's what I've heard from too many people.
Yeah. You know, for me, that was life. It is life over 12 years. You know, for Best Actor, I am picking Eddie Redmayne from Theory of Everything. What are you picking?
I'm with you there. I think I want him to win. Although they might give it to Keaton, I want Eddie Redmayne to win.
Jude, you're on the air. We're here at Gerby's Law. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
You're calling from Kansas City?
I sure did.
Oh, I love it.
Awesome.
Love the accent. So what is
Kansas? How you doing, Carrie? Hey, Carrie, I talked to you on Twitter, and I'm a big fan of your father's, and you've always been sweet to me, and I just want to tell you thank you.
Oh, no, thank you, and thanks
That's
for calling
sweet.
In.
So who's going to win the Best Actor, Jude?
You know what? I'm a Michael Keaton fan.
Yeah.
I was listening to you guys, and I thought, you know, the movie, like you said, yeah, it was pretty, I don't know, Edward Norton was fabulous. In
yeah.
But also, you know what? Steve Carell, I thought he did a good job in that movie. In that
so
movie
good.
He was in.
Yeah.
So
but
good.
I saw it with my mother, and she loved it.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of torn between them two, and I'm a big fan of both of them, too, so it's kind of hard to pick one.
They're all so good.
Yeah.
Right.
Hey, Jude, let me ask you, did you see The Theory of Everything, the Stephen Hawking?
I have not seen that.
Okay.
No, I haven't.
Go see it, because you may have a different opinion after you see that film about who the best actor is.
Okay, I will see
but
that.
But you've picked some movie. Great ones. Thanks for listening. We got to move on.
See you on social media, Jude.
All right, I'll see you. Thank you, man.
Bye.
Have a good night.
Mary Ann from Victorville, how are you, and welcome to Gervie's Law.
Hi.
Hi.
What's up?
I picked American Sniper.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
I think that's a long shot. Why do you pick American Sniper, Marianne?
Because I think that it really does depict wartime and reality, the realities of wartime. And I think people draw on to that.
You know, you might be right, because a couple years ago, Hurt Locker won, and nobody thought Hurt Locker was going to win. Nobody.
Right.
So you know what? This could be a surprise win. You might be right.
So are you also picking Bradley Cooper for Best Actor?
No, I actually think Steve Carell is going to do it. Because, again, I mean, I'm a teacher, so I know kind of the realities of coaching and of, like, just wanting to win. And this is, again, the realities of what it's like. And I think people draw on to that. And he did an excellent job.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And, you know, I think he played a part that we're not typically used to seeing him play. So he did a great job. Thanks for calling, Marianne. We got to move on. We're going to talk about Best Director. I am going with Best Director with Richard Linklater from Boyhood again.
I might have to go with you there only because it took 12 years and because it was something so different. So I'm going to go with you on that.
That's
one.
Quantity, not quality.
Right, but I'm still going to go with you because he did something really nobody has done.
Yeah, and I don't think they'll ever do it again. Right. I mean, it's an incredible undertaking, and I really respect that. For Best Actress, it's a shoo-in for me. That's still Alice's Julianne Moore.
100%. I thought it was weak this year. And not weak because these are bad actresses. Weak because there was not enough material for women. Reese Witherspoon and Wilde, it's not an Academy Award-winning performance. Neither is Rosamund Pike and Gone Girl.
I didn't like Gone Girl.
I read the book, so I kind of liked the book, and I thought they did a fairly good job with Gone Girl. I thought it was pretty true.
Right, and Felicity Jones, I mean, Eddie Redmayne really took that role, and Felicity Jones was just there.
Now, Marion Cotillard, I don't even know how to say her name. I've heard so many good things about this movie. Did not see this film.
She's
a phenomenal actress. I didn't see it, but I still think Julianne Moore for Still Alice is going to take it.
Okay, so we've already talked about Best Actor. I said Eddie Redmayne, and you said
I agree with you, but I said I think the Academy may give it to Michael Keaton.
Okay. For Best Supporting Actor, I've got to go with J.K. Simmons in Whiplash.
J.K. Simmons is unbelievable. He is so good in everything he does. But Edward Norton in Birdman was phenomenal. Now, Robert Duvall, he's up there.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's won an award, and if he hasn't, that might be the surprise win.
I saw The Judge, and I didn't think he was that great. I liked the movie. It was a fun movie.
Yeah.
But I don't think it can compare to J.K. Simmons' portrayal of a real jerk.
You're probably
in Whiplash.
Right. I think you're right. I think he's going to take it.
And for Best Supporting Actress, I'm going with Patricia Arquette just because she sat beside me during the time that I saw Boyhood.
And she's won everything. She has won everything, so she'll probably take that.
I mean, she's way above some of the other nominations.
Can we do one more?
Go ahead.
Visual effects. There's Interstellar, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, Guardians of the Galaxy, Captain America, Winter Soldier, X-Men, Days of the Future Past.
Do you know Bryan Singer had a baby? I'll go with X-Men. I'm sure he did, with Michelle Clooney.
What?
Yeah, Bryan Singer and Michelle Clooney had a baby. We'll talk about it next week. We're running out of time.
Okay, I'm going with Interstellar. I love that movie.
Going with Bryan Singer and X-Men.
Okay, that's crazy that you just said that. We have to talk about that next weekend.
I know.
What are you talking about?
Look it up. Google Bryan Singer and Michelle Clooney, and you will see they had a baby, a little girl, I believe.
Are you talking about a real kid, or is this like a fur baby?
No, it's really. It's real. And I know both of them. I've had dinner with both of them. So there,
is that our teaser for next week?
I get to drop some names right at the end of the show. I've dropped names all through the show. And yes, Brian Singer and we were at Kate Manolini's, and with Michelle Clooney, I was at her place having dinner. So good luck with them. I think it's fantastic that they're having a baby. And, you know, Brian, you know, hey, whatever. They love each other. They worked together originally on Usual Suspects, and that's it. So enjoy the Oscars tomorrow. This is Gervie's Law saying goodbye for now, but not for long. Carrie and I will see you next week.